From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox, in for Farai Chidea, who is on vacation. Last night, President Bush delivered his 7th annual address to the nation, and it was perhaps one of the toughest speeches of his political career. Public support for the Iraq War is low, and for the first time, he faced a Democratic majority in the House chamber. The president continued to defend his Iraq strategy, but he also outlined a domestic agenda for the new year with a collection of policies, old and new. For a closer look at his remarks, we are joined now from the studios of Princeton University by Melissa Harris-Lacewell, Associate Professor of Politics and African American Studies, and from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters, Ron Christie, Vice President of the lobbying firm D.C. Navigators. He is also former Special Assistant to President George W. Bush. Melissa, Ron, nice to have both of you on.
Thanks for joining
me
today.
Before we get into the specifics of the president's speech, let's start with both of your general impressions. The president did, after all, have a lot of hearts and minds to win last night. So starting with you, Melissa, good speech, so-so speech, well delivered. What do you say?
Honestly, as I finally turned off the television kind of late last night, I thought, what is this feeling I'm having? And I realized it was a bit like listening to an abusive husband who keeps coming back and telling you that this will be the last time that he'll do something awful. And there comes a point where you just don't believe it anymore.
What do you say, Ron?
I don't know what speech the good professor was listening to. I thought the president took to the rostrum last night under very difficult circumstances, delivered a very well-written, very well-crafted set of remarks, and I think he extended the proper olive branch to the Democrat Party and recognized that we're in divided government and that we all need to work together and to find solutions, not on this side or that side of the aisle, but we need to cross the aisle to find ways that we can advance the American people's agenda. I thought it was very well done.
All right, let's delve into some of the issues that the president brought up. He not only had to convince the majority of Americans and Democrats that they should tough it out in Iraq, he had to convince many in his own party as well.
This is not the fight we entered in Iraq, but it is the fight we are in. Every one of us wishes this war were over and won. Yet it would not be like us to leave our promises unkept, our friends abandoned, and our own security at risk. Ladies and gentlemen, on this day, at this hour, it is still within our power to shape the outcome of this battle. Let us find our resolve and turn events toward victory.
So, Melissa, given your earlier remarks, is it fair to say you don't feel that he hit the mark with that?
Well, again, I think we have to keep asking ourselves, so what exactly is this victory that this president is asking us to imagine? See, the goal has been moving so much in this war. First, this question of weapons of mass destruction. Then this dialogue about the danger of Saddam Hussein. Then this notion about building democracy. So since the target keeps moving, and each time what the president tells us that there are weapons of mass destruction turns out to be untrue, that the world and Iraq will be safer when Saddam Hussein is gone, turns out to be untrue, that it's very difficult then to listen to this language about we must keep our promises when we can't even be clear what those promises are given the moving target.
Well, one of the things, Ron, that happened in terms of Democratic responses to the president's speech last night with regard to the war in Iraq, from what I was able to discern, is that they weren't necessarily moved. Do you think that some of the Republicans who had questions about Iraq were moved as a result of what the president said?
I think in the opening piece from Senator Norm Coleman last night in Statuary Hall, where he said that, you know, the president had a tough road to hoe and that Senator Coleman was optimistic, a little bit more moved perhaps by the president's words last night. But there's no question, Tony, that people on either side of the political spectrum are very concerned, as we all are as Americans, of what's going on in Iraq. But let me just rebut something the professor said a second ago. The United States is involved in Iraq to win. Not just because it's a moving goalpost or there were weapons of mass destruction or not weapons of mass destruction. The terrorists themselves have said that they want to fight the infidel, meaning us, the United States, in Iraq. And as our general over there, Abbasid, has said, if we do not take the terrorists over there, the terrorists will come here. That is what this struggle, that is what this fight is all about, of taking these terrorists out before they inflict more damage on our soil, as we've seen from 9/11.
Let's move on to another topic that the president raised last night. It had to do with health care and sort of combining health care reform and tax reform. He has used simplicity in the past to sell his agenda, but is the idea of rewriting the tax code to pay for health care just a little too complicated? Listen to this.
And for the millions of other Americans who have no health insurance at all, this deduction would help put a basic private health insurance plan within their reach. Changing the tax code is a vital and necessary step to making health care affordable for more Americans.
Did that message land, Melissa?
I'm not completely sure if the message landed in terms of the actual specific policy. He's going to have to do a lot more work. But what I will say landed is that this is what is better about divided government than a government where a single party controls both chambers of Congress and the White House. This president is now forced to at least offer possibilities for addressing these very serious questions around health care. I don't think there is one easy, obvious answer. If there was, we would have already taken that up. So I appreciate that there is at least now a proposal from the White House, which will have to be vetted, discussed, and clearly changed and updated in the context of not only this legislative session, but as we move into the next presidential election.
It seems, Ron, to me that there was some attempt on the part of the president to at least acknowledge and address the bipartisanship that will be necessary to move forward with an agenda that includes things like tax reform and health care reform.
I think you're absolutely right, and the president actually said that from the opening moments of the State of the Union last night again, that the American people don't care what side of the aisle we sit on. The American people expect us to cross that aisle to work together to find viable solutions to the problems that face us. And healthcare is just one of those problems. If you look at the president's proposal, the top fifth of Americans will actually pay a little bit more. Middle-class Americans, lower-class Americans will receive tax cuts, will have tax deductions. And I think, as Melissa said, this is something that will go to the Congress where we have a fair debate and fair discussion to find a way to address the 44 to 46 million people in this country without health insurance.
Here's another issue that he addressed, immigration. The one issue that may have played better to this year's crowd than last year's, he renewed his call for a guest worker program.
We need to uphold the great tradition of the melting pot that welcomes and assimilates new arrivals. We need to resolve the status of the illegal immigrants who are already in our country without animosity and without amnesty.
I was trying to watch Nancy Pelosi last night, Melissa, to get a signal as to which things the president said that she was telling the people in the audience it's okay to clap for this. And immigration was one that I got the sense that maybe this is one they can work together on.
Well, absolutely. Not only can they're going to have to. And also remember, Pelosi is, although Speaker of the House, also a representative from the state of California, where immigration has been sort of a leading issue even before it hit the complete national stage. So, in fact, if you watch not only Pelosi, but some of the Republicans who were in the audience last night, there was a kind of pinched or grimaced look on many of their faces around this language of the president's immigration policy. But this president has been trying to pass this immigration policy for quite some time. It is possible that in this new Congress, there will be the possibility of a guest worker program.
Ron, let me beg your indulgence and not ask you to respond on this particular issue, because I want to play another piece of tape before we run out of time, and I'd like to get your response to that. And it's from Virginia Senator Jim Webb, who struck an unusually blunt tone, it seems, in his response to the president's State of the Union.
These presidents took the right kind of action for the benefit of the American people and for the health of our relations around the world. Tonight, we're calling on this president to take similar action in both areas. If he does, we will join him. If he does not, we will be showing him the way.
Now, he was referring to the president's remarks regarding the war on one hand and the economy on the other. Those were pretty strong words, were they not?
They were, and it's an unfortunate choice of language. Senator Webb has shown a lack of maturity and, candidly, a lack of decorum. He snubbed the president in an event right around the holiday season, where he refused to shake his hand and refused to talk about his son when the president asked how his son, Senator Webb's son, who was a Marine overseas in combat in Iraq. I think the way forward that we all recognize, with particularly with the divided Congress right now, is for people to put aside their personal differences and find ways to work together. And I thought that that response by Senator Webb for the Democrat response was more of the same of partisan, and if President Bush is for it, then we're against it, which was an unfortunate tone for him to take.
Melissa, it did seem ominous sounding, didn't it?
It's a little ominous, but I mean, I'm gonna cut a little bit of slack for two reasons. One, really, the base of the Democratic Party has been calling on the leadership of the Democratic Party to have a backbone. And so part of why they put Webb there is to provide that backbone, to provide that basis to say, look, you know, as this president once said, we've got political capital and we're going to spend it.
I don't want to oversimplify the president's speech last night or in any way make it seem less than what it was, but I'd like to ask the both of you as we bring this to a close, on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as State of the Union speeches go that the president has given, this is number 7, what would you give it, Ron?
I'd give it a 7. Strong delivery, strong content, and the right tone for the right time.
And Melissa?
No, I'd give it much closer to a 3 or a 4. Ultimately, the war in Iraq was overshadowing all of these issues of domestic policy. He really no longer has a bold or visionary. Whether you disagreed with that vision or not, at least there was a time when he was bold. Now he really is just that duck.
I appreciate both of you. Melissa Harris-Lacewell is Associate Professor of Politics and African American Studies at Princeton University and the author of Barbershops, Bibles, and BET. Ron Christie is Vice President of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He is also the author of Black in the White House and former Special Assistant to President George W. Bush. Again, thank you both.
Nice to join you.
Thank you.